This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. And this, of course, is the time of the show when we take a look at a legal issue with our, I hope now, resident legal eagle, although the rest of her office seem to want to come in here at regular intervals too, Christina Antoniadis. Hello, Christina.
Hi, Doug. Thank you for having me again.
You're more than welcome. How's your week been?
Look, it's been busy, but quite good. Quite good. Looking forward to the weekend, I can tell you.
Now, we wanted to take a look today at issues around domestic violence.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that, of course, I know Scott Davis, the gay and lesbian liaison officer, is very keen to talk about quite often, because people don't think of domestic violence in the context of a gay relationship quite often. You say domestic violence and everybody immediately thinks of some bogan and a wife beater and and his missus and their 16 children, whatever. But it also happens in gay relationships too, doesn't it?
It does a lot. And a lot of people don't come forward, especially lesbian relationships, because they don't deem it, as you said, as important as if they were hit by a man. But it is as important, and it really needs to be nipped in the bud as soon as possible. And the legislation, which we'll talk about shortly, has really come forward and allowed and acknowledged gay rights within that area of the law.
So what law is this that we're talking about?
We're talking about the Family Violence Protection Act, and that was passed in December 2008. So it was very, it was the first piece of legislation that was passed in a series of acts. So we've spoken about the Parenting Act and the Family Law Act. So this was actually the first one that went through. And the biggest thing about this piece of legislation is it actually extended the definition of a family member to include same-sex partners, to include someone you've been in an intimate relationship with but may not have necessarily lived with. And that was really important, because prior to that, it was very hard to seek and obtain an intervention order.
Yeah, because, I mean, people, presumably it was domestic partner meant living domestically with them.
Exactly, and heterosexual.
Well, that's a good move. Tell us, what is domestic violence? I mean, we know, you obviously know, you know, somebody thumps somebody else, that's domestic violence, mm-hmm. but it can take other forms.
It can, and that's another reason that the Act is so good for us, because it includes emotional abuse, which is yelling, putting someone down. It includes psychological abuse, and under psychological abuse actually comes the automatic ability now to seek an intervention order if someone tries to out you. That's considered as emotional abuse and psychological abuse.
Mm.
There's also financial abuse. So if you say to your partner, if you leave me, I'm not going to give you any money, I'm going to shut up shop and you're not going to get anything, that's grounds for an intervention order. So it's very important stuff.
It's all a bit kind of a bit heavy to be bringing the law in on all these things, isn't it? I mean, I would imagine most people listening would be thinking to themselves, you know, aren't these kind of domestic disputes better settled without getting the law involved?
Some, yes, but some, I've had a lot of experience with people that have come in and said, if I leave my partner, despite the fact that they're beating me or being abusive towards me, they said they're going to kill themselves. Again, another ground for seeking an intervention order. Sometimes there are circumstances where, unfortunately, the law does have to intervene. And, you know, a typical case of that, I had a client that his ex threatened to put up on billboards and out him as to his sexuality. And, you know, we got the intervention order. He did it anyway. And then he was charged with a criminal act because he did that. And I think people really need to become accountable for their actions, regardless of whether they're straight or they're gay.
I suppose this is all part of, you know, moving into the mainstream, so to speak.
It is.
Before, we had to sort these things out for ourselves.
Exactly.
Now we're getting tangled up in the same structures that, unfortunately, heterosexual couples have been coping with for quite some considerable time.
Exactly right, yeah.
So, supposing I'm, supposing I'm financially dependent on my partner, and I have been for some considerable period of time, and I decide I want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, well, all right, you're on your own, end of story, goodbye. Mm-hmm. But you're not getting a penny from me.
Yep.
What do I do next?
I don't think that in itself would warrant an intervention order. That would more come under the family law scope. So you'd make an application to the family court for maintenance for him to help you get by. It's more, financial abuse is more if you're living with that person and they say...
But suppose I, you know, supposing I then decide that, okay, I don't have any choice. I've got to continue living with this person because I'm not going to get any money otherwise. And he starts making life difficult for me in one way or another, or restricting my income, or you know, the amount of money
that,
he gives me. That then takes us over into the financial abuse thing.
Yeah, because it's really a form of control over you. You can have this much money, you can do this, but you can't do that. And that's where it sort of then blurs into the family law, the Family Violence Protection Act. That's when the intervention order does become quite important. But if I had a client coming to me saying that, my first port of call would be to say to them, let's issue in the family court, let's get some money for you on a weekly or monthly basis, and go from there. But if there was any sort of violence or emotional or physical abuse, that's when we'd step in and get an intervention order.
Do you see a lot of these sort of cases?
I do, unfortunately, I do. And the sad thing, or the area I find the most difficult, is when people go, oh, that's not violence. That doesn't constitute violence. And also when I have women coming in that are in a, obviously in a same-sex relationship, and there's a child of the relationship and they're not the biological parent, they think that they can't do anything to protect the child. They say, oh, well, it's not my biological child, therefore I can't get an order. But that this act has actually amended that. It's allowing you to actually go in and get an order.
So we're obviously a lot better off because of
this.
A
lot better off.
Even though it can be quite complex.
It can be quite complex, but I think you need someone to walk through it, to be there beside you and go through the process with you, because it's very daunting. It is very daunting.
Well, relationship breakups are daunting at the best of times.
This adds another element to it.
without bringing law and everything else into it too. But on the other hand, yes, you should be able to protect yourself. What other kinds of protection can the law offer besides intervention orders?
We can get restraints through the family court. So if someone doesn't allow you access to an account, a joint account, or they're saying if you issue proceedings, we're going to take all the money out of the account, you can get a restraint through the family court that actually they can't do it. It stops them from having any sort of access to that account. There's that protection. There's protection of non-biological parents who can get an order to protect the children. It's just opened right up for the gay community, and it's a really important step, I think, because it's underreported.
Well, that's always the problem, isn't it? It goes back to the fact that there's been a lack of trust in the police, there's been a lack of trust in the legal system in the past because of the dubious legal status of our relationships. And now that that's changing, this is all available to us.
It is.
Okay, well, we'll come back in a moment and talk a little more about this. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9. My name's Doug Pollard, and my guest at the moment is Legal Eagle Christina Antoniades. I always have my trouble getting my mouth around that name, from Nichols Family Law. You're listening to Freshly Dug. This is Doug Pollard, and I'm chatting with Christina Antoniades, and we're talking about domestic violence law as it applies to same-sex couples and families. Now, I understand there was a bit of a lag between when this law first came in and when the courts actually, you know, got their heads around it. So some people may have had a bit of a bad experience.
Yeah, look, it came into effect in December of 2008, and I had a few cases shortly thereafter where I went to court, and two specific examples. The first one I mentioned before about the posting of posters on the billboards near my client's workplace to out him. That was one situation. The second situation was where a non-biological mother was in a horrific domestic violence situation, a lot of verbal and physical abuse in front of an eight-year-old child, and the eight-year-old child was really affected by this. And so I took her along to the magistrate's court, and when I came before the magistrate, they actually turned around and said, well, I can't make that order because you're not the biological mother. So I had to actually spend 15 minutes to half an hour arguing the case for my client. And it was actually quite a demeaning process for her, because she was just trying to protect her child, who now is legally acknowledged as the other parent. But at the time, I mean, being in that situation, you're vulnerable, you're being abused, and you're trying to do something to protect your child. And to have an authority figure like a magistrate turn around and say, well, sorry, you've got no rights, was actually really, it just compounded the process for her. And she was quite distraught at the way they approached it, given that, you know, we'd received information from, you know, the gay and lesbian liaison officers, the registrars of the court, saying this is a great piece of legislation, and it is, but then to have a magistrate turn around and say, I'm sorry, that's not right, It's quite harsh and you know, it should never have happened.
Did you win through eventually?
We did, but I just thought the whole process was actually more traumatic for her than the actual abuse itself. It was just another violation.
That does actually sometimes happen when you go to law, though, doesn't it?
It does. Look, it does.
You know, rape victims often complain that the reason they don't follow through is because going through the legal process is almost as bad as going through the rape in the first place.
And you know, you've mentioned a good point about rape in lesbian relationships, because a lot of women that I see will have been subjected or have experienced a rape, and they go, well, it's not rape because I, you know, it wasn't a man that did that to me. So it's all these little things that I think people, even though obviously they're within the gay community, they're still adhering to the old heterosexual views. And
so magistrates need a few lessons, and so do some of us.
Yes. I won't mention any names, though, because I do like my career. So,
is it getting better with
magistrates? It is getting a lot better. We've got a lot of understanding magistrates at the moment. We've got a specialised team there led by Magistrate Anne Goldsborough, who's lovely, and really attuned to everything that's happening within the community. So I think it's a great step forward. There were teething problems, but, you know, it's a fantastic thing. What I would say is, if you're unsure as to your rights, or you don't know what's happening, drop someone an email, drop me an email, ring your gay and lesbian liaison officers at Victoria Police. You know, you've got Scott Davis, Gabby Tyack, they're great. I often will call them if I'm not getting any luck through the local police station and say, look, can you help out? And they're great in putting things forward. So I'd really encourage people to really start coming forward and getting help.
What about the cost of doing this?
Okay, look, it isn't cheap. There is, the process is, you have to fill out an application. Mm-hmm. And that's on the Magistrates Court website, and that just outlines what instances you have experienced of abuse, and then you go to the registrar. So in terms of the first bit of the process, you can actually do that yourself. You fill out the form, go with a friend, make an appointment, and the registrars at the Magistrates Court are lovely. They're really sympathetic, and they basically hold your hand through the process and tell you what to expect. Unlike some people think you have to give evidence at the first hearing, you don't. You just basically have to confirm to the magistrate that you filled out the application, that you are fearful, and what has actually happened, and they really walk you through it. They don't sit there and cross-examine you. So that first process you can do by yourself. It's then the subsequent court hearings where you may need a legal representative there, and you know, you could go through legal aid for $440, or then obviously if you privately engage someone, it increases from there.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, if your life's a misery and possibly endangered, then it's worth every cent,
It is. And always get onto your GLOW officers. They're fantastic with Victoria Police.
Yeah. Thank goodness we have them.
I know.
Yes, we have them. Christina, thank you very much for joining us today. I would urge anyone who is suffering from domestic violence, in the terms we've outlined, which, as we said, doesn't just have to be physical violence.
Exactly.
Let us stress that it doesn't necessarily have to be physical violence, to get some advice. There's plenty of advice available. Talk to your GLOWs in the first instance, your local GLOW, or to Scott or Gabby. Get some information and talk to people like Christina, who can always help you to get the help you need, because nobody needs to live in a violent situation, and especially if there are children involved. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.